Attention women looking for transformation. Are you overwhelmed as a stay-at-home mom? Are you feeling broken in your life and are saying, if I were only younger, I would have more time to pursue my dreams? Are you looking for a new identity? Here is great news for you. Introducing a woman-centric radio show, Princess Fomi and her Southern Warrior Sisters Talk Radio helps you develop valuable life tools for knowing how to get your goals and dreams accomplished despite defeating self-talk. On this mental health, wellness, and inspirational talk show, you will get massive motivation, encouraging nuggets that point you to what you should be doing with your dreams, and much more. African Oscar winner and best-selling author Dr. Princess Fomi Hancock introduces her co-hosts, Marlis Triplett Sells and Maxine Holt Donaldson.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining another episode of the Southern Warrior Sister Tribe Show. And today I would like to say that Marlis Triplett Sells is not going to be able to be with us today, and we miss you, sister. And Janine Cummings from all the way from London is not able to join us today, and we miss you too. And Marlis, we will see you next week on the show. And I would like to welcome everyone from all over the globe listening to us, Africa, Asia, and all our listeners in America. Thank you for joining our show today. And today, I'm going to be hosting the show, Maxine Holt Donaldson. And we also have on the show with us today our sister, Dr. Princess Fomi Hancock. And I want to start the show with you.
Hey, everyone. I'm sorry. Good morning.
Yeah, go ahead and say hi to everybody, Princess.
Good morning. Good morning to you, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. So good morning, Africa. Good morning, Europe. Good morning, Asia. Good morning all over the world. Thank you so much for being a part of the Warrior Sisters World Changers show. So thank you so much. Just like Maxine said, we miss you all, Marlis and Janine. Thank you so much for joining us all today.
Thank you for welcoming our listeners, Princess. So, Princess, how has your week been? And let me know what's about to come up for you.
Oh, my goodness. Well, as you know, I've been really, really busy. We're trying to officially launch the Storyteller Bistro, which is an incubator for storytellers. And so we've been working so hard trying to put the courses there. Example of the courses is how to quit your job in 90 days. One is how to write your book. Another one is marketing your group book. And then for those who are not sure what their passion in life is, we do have a course there that is called How to Write Your Passion Plan. So we've just been excited about that. And we are looking forward to having many of the students come in, you know, students, professionals, career changers, those who are there, male or female, that are looking to go to their next level. You're all welcome.
Thank you, Princess, for telling us. And tell everybody how to get to your classes and where you're going to be posting the information, even though we're going to be posting the information on our Facebook page, the Southern Warrior Sister Tribe. Go ahead and like our page right now, and you'll find that information too. But, Princess, tell us where we can go and find that information.
Well, if they go to www.storytellerbistro, S-T-O-R-Y-teller, T-E-L-L-E-R, bistro, B-I-S-T-R-O, storytellerbistro.com. And, of course, you can find us on Facebook as Storyteller Bistro Group.
Yes, so everybody like that page as well. And also go ahead and join for the event coming up, because I've joined for the event to come up, so I want to see everybody there. So thank you, Princess, for giving us all that good information, and I hope, you know, everybody that's listened to the show will join as soon as possible.
Yeah. Yes.
On today's, well, actually, I didn't start off with saying what my week was like. My week was busy, too. I have a freshman in high school, so I've been busy with him getting everything done for high school, so and trying to, you know, work on my my business and doing other things too. So I've been busy this week.
I bet.
And you know what? Today's topic is something that I talked to my son about, and I'll give you an example of that a little bit later in the show. But today we're going to talk about on the Southern Warrior Sister Tribe show is perception versus man in the mirror. So who do you really think you are versus, you know, your perception creates your reality? You know, looks can be deceiving. You know, why perception and reality don't always match up. So, you know, if you're facing a tricky task, your view of the world may not be as accurate as you think. The way you perceive someone is more than just an opinion, actually a reflection of you being projected onto that person. When I read that, that was deep. And also I found another quote about that. It said, if you don't tell the truth about yourself, you cannot tell it about another person. That was a quote from Virginia Woolf. So, you know, even if you listen to someone else's description or opinion of you and it sounds completely alien, you probably found yourself wondering, why, you know, where did this come from? Where on earth did this come from? It's just their, you know, opinion or description of you. So, for instance, the first question I was going to ask today was, have you ever had someone give you a description or opinion, you know, good or bad, that that's been totally off base?
Oh, my. Yes. Absolutely, yes. I think there was, it actually happened on social media, and I was a part of a particular group of women that just Periscope and just did a lot of work on social media. And so I was getting excited about all the work that us women were doing, and I was reaching out, helping people, and just trying to make things happen in that group. And so I remembered creating a postcard, and I was talking about how it's Friday, let's get it together, and all this other stuff. The next thing I got was a Facebook message from the group leader, the founder, saying, oh, you want to take people, you want to do this. I was just like, oh, my God. Oh, my heavens. You don't even know and understand when somebody's trying to help you. You can't even see it yourself. And that kind of blew me away. It first hurt me, but then I turned it around and said, you know what? Perhaps somehow it is like in her lifetime, she's never known people really giving her help. And I've been there, too, where I've always done things by myself, and so I don't ask for help. And so there are times when the real thing comes, you're being critical of it. So that was one story for me, and I had to pull back and say, you know what? No, if she doesn't understand it, that what I was trying to do was actually trying to help and trying to, you know, support, then I need to pull back and, you know, and let her be.
Right. Wow. Because, you know, if that happened to me, my first thing would to be is try to apologize and say, oh, no, you took it the wrong way and everything like that. But you just let it be. And sometimes I guess you have to be that way because she perceived in her mind that you were trying to do something else. So, I definitely understand that.
To tell you the truth, I actually first reached out to her. But it wasn't kind of like apology. It was just kind of letting her know that, no, I don't want to do anything. I just want to help out. But then she took the discussion to another level, posting it on the Facebook, going back and forth. And I said, I'm going to be the bigger person. I'm just going to let it go. So I just, you know, deleted everything and just let it go. So that way I was able to shut her down so she can deal with whatever it is that was going on with her. So at that time, that's what we have to do. We don't have to engage in back and forth. Now you can try to let them know where your heart is, but once you've done that, you do not have to engage in that. Otherwise, it's not going to allow them to heal from whatever it is in their background that's making them feel like everybody's trying to take away from them. Because truthfully said, it's about them. It's not about you. As long as you can clear your own heart and know that you do not have any other hidden agenda, then you know that the reaction they had to you has absolutely nothing to do with you. It's about them who need to figure something out in their life.
Right. Wow, and that's exactly it. And that's what happened. And when we were talking about somebody was totally off base with, you know, having a bad opinion or a bad perception and trying to project that out into the world, not just onto themselves or whatever. And sometimes people can do that and try to project it out to the world. I had an incident to where someone tried to make people perceive that I was a certain way. As soon as, and I didn't say anything to the person, I didn't go back to them. And I was thinking, maybe I should have, but then I thought about it. I was like, maybe I'm not going to start anything, you know, because it's professional and it's at work. As soon as another person, they got their perception, they started talking that way. And I was like, well, why do you have that perception? And this person said, I don't know, it's just because I was told that. Okay.
Whoa.
Well, yeah. I want you to, you know, I don't know if I told them, I need you to judge for yourself, but as soon as those perceptions were not true, then they came back to me and apologized and said, I'm sorry, I listened to this person, and you're not that way at all, because I kept quiet.
Mm-hmm.
I kept quiet, and I said, okay, I'm not going to go and try to make this perception not true or keep, you know, tugging at it and saying that, you know, it's not that way. But yeah, I understand definitely that, you know, someone can be totally off base with their perception of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I want everybody to visit us on Facebook, Southern Warrior Sister Tribe, and like our Facebook page. Sign up for our blog page, SouthernWarriorSisterTribe.com, and visit us on our new website, WarriorSistersWorldChangers.com.
Awesome. So I have a question for you, Maxine. I have a question. Why do you think that some people don't see the bad traits that they have? Why do you think that? Why do you think, because a lot of times we're always looking, right? We're always pointed at somebody else. So why do you think some people do not see that bad traits about themselves in order to even understand why another person might be having that perception? Now, that's a good question.
I think they don't want to see those bad traits, because basically it's like the name of our show. They'll be looking the man in the mirror. They'll be looking at themselves, you know, reflected back onto them, you know, the bad traits that they have. And if you don't see those bad traits you have, then that makes other people's perceptions true. And then, you know, and if it's one person that thinks that way, then other people have the same opinion, because you're making that bad trait stand out. So, I mean, you would understand if you don't see it yourself. And I think some people hurt themselves and do a, you know, injustice to their reputation when they don't, you know, actually come forward and look at that as you know, being an issue for them.
Wow. I'm telling you, this is such a great question, because it kind of segues into all the things we've been talking as we started the radio show. Number one, it's essential for us, if somebody has that kind of perception about you, particularly if it ends up being not just one person, but if it's like two or three, then you really seriously have to sit yourself down, hashtag, sit yourself down, TM, right? and then really, really open your eyes and see if there's anything in you that is being presumed wrong, or is even something that you need to work on. And a lot of times we don't want to do it because we are afraid to see what we might see, right? We are afraid that they might be actually right, and then we have to change something. And so when we look at all those things, right, there are times that we would rather just close our eyes to our own self and project that thing back to those people and say, well, it's their fault. And just listening to this question answered by you now is making me think, okay, that issue that I just mentioned, I need to really figure it out. Could it be something that I projected innocently or, you know, ignorantly or even deliberately, right, that allowed that person to jump and say, oh, this looks like something, right? So we always have to look back and forth. If we're looking to change, if we want to go to our next level, it is essential that we take all the baggages of that current level, deal with it, wrap it together, toss it in a sea of forgetfulness. That way we can move to the next level.
Well, you know what I was thinking about when you said that, but when you made that post, those were not your intentions. But the lady, whoever it was, perceived it that way. So there's something wrong
That's right.
with them, I would think. I would think there's something wrong with them. But you know what that teaches sometimes? That teaches some people on how to deal with certain people. So, like, if you send me something and you wanted me to post something, there's no problem with that. You know, I see, you know, that is needed and that's helpful. But somebody else may have a different mindset. Like you said earlier,
exactly.
You don't know what was going on with her and what's been going on in her life, or people's done this to her before, that she's automatically assuming that, you know, that's happening to you or to her.
Absolutely.
And you know what? This is a good question, too. It's a mental health question. So
that's
you're going to be good with answering this question.
Uh-oh.
Why is it when people are dealing with unacceptable or in some case abusive behavior in life, it is difficult for them to hear or accept the negative conduct from a loved one or a close friend? So I want to know, why is it hard dealing with unacceptable, you know, negative behavior or negative conduct? Is that,
right,
you know,
so,
or
okay. Let me try and understand what you're saying. So why, if we have an issue, why do we have a problem really dealing with a loved one misbehaving? Is that what the question is?
Yeah, mental health, could it be a point of a mental issue if they have abusive behavior that's making them, that's, you know, difficult for them to hear that they have negative conduct?
Well, here's the thing, you know, it could be mental health issue. It might not be mental health issue. It could be just being a brat, or it might be just experiences from. So if you were born into an abusive relationship and that's all you ever knew growing up, you know, you would have learned some defensive, you know, moves to kind of like protect yourself from all that abuse. So when you grow up and somebody reaches out to you and tell you about this, the first thing that will come out of you are those defenses that you've learned growing up. You're not going to hear anything. The first thing you're going to say is, okay, I got to protect myself from this or this or this. Never mind if it's right or wrong. I'm still going to protect myself. So a lot of times is what we've been exposed to growing up, both in the house, in the home, or outside of the home, at schools, or in just playing on the street. So it's very important that we understand that too, particularly when we're dealing with somebody who has their walls up. Right, they are misbehaving, they're doing all these unacceptable things, but at the same time they have their walls up because that's the way they've been able to survive all these years. And so for us, when we try to reach out to them, we have to understand that they have those walls because that's the only way they've been able to survive. And what do we do on our side? We give them time, we give them space, and allow them to sort it out. And that's what I did with that lady. The story I told earlier, that I just, you know, once I saw that, oh my God, this thing wants to start going back and forth, I couldn't engage that. I could not no longer engage in that. And so otherwise, she was never going to be healed. She was never going to be healed.
Right.
And at the end of the day, I would be pissed. I would be so mad. So rather than take myself there and then allow herself to just wallow in that, I had to remove myself.
Right.
And that's
completely. And that was the right thing to do. And you have to know when you're dealing with certain types of personalities that's what you need to do. You have to pull back and give them time to do a reset. And sometimes people don't even see that. And we're talking about the abusive behavior or sometimes, you know, negative conduct. I have an example of that or a story to tell. A couple of years ago, it was myself, my sister, and my aunt. We went out to eat with one of my sister's friends, and her sister was there, the lady's sister was there. Actually, she was a young girl, and something went horribly wrong, and I think maybe because she had too much alcohol, and I'm not sure if she was on meds, but we were having a nice dinner, laughing, giggling, and then she almost turned into this whole other person, almost like, you know, Sybil. And when she turned into this other person, she got really mean, angry, you know, started cursing people out and just started saying things. I was like, hold on, who is this person? At first we were having fun, and then she turned on a dime, and we couldn't understand what was going on, and she was being really nasty. And to be, you know, nasty to an older, you know, adult like my aunt, we was like, what's going on? And so we haven't spoke to that person again. We never go out with her again because we didn't know that it was some type of mental health issue. And then we asked the sister, like, what's wrong with her? What's going on? They said, I'm sorry. And so the other sister was apologizing. I guess she thought that, you know, she would be okay, but she wasn't. She had too much to drink, so it caused those bad behaviors. So, I mean, that's the one thing, too. And I think it was difficult for her to hear us say something, or her sister was saying things to her there at the table of, you know, their opinion or, you know, what was actually going on. Because for us, we would give our perception and our opinion of, hey, you need to stop, this is what you're doing. So maybe she thought that was a perception or something negative, but that was a very, you know, a bad, you know, time for us when we saw that. We didn't know if the girl was going to get up and try and fight us or what was going on. So we, you know, politely left, and we never spoke to those people again.
Wow. Now, here's the thing, though. When you have somebody who is already on something and then that person drinks, then their perception is obscured anyway, you know. Already, because of what they're going through chemically, you all can see the world round at that point. They're not seeing it around. You see, so they've already perceived something differently when you all open your mouth. And this is a very good teachable moment too, because when somebody is at a point, we're talking about mental health right now. When somebody is at a point where their perception is actually skewed already, that is not the right time to try to tell them about their behavior, because if you do, it's only going to escalate, because they're not hearing you anyway. When you open your mouth, they're hearing something totally different, because already their brains, their chemicals, everything is all messed up, and they're not even in a position to even receive anything whatsoever, anything. And so if they've been one of those that have actually kept with themselves, they've kept to themselves, and they've developed some tactics, some defensive tactics, that's what's going to come out. So that instead of you seeing them think about what was said to them, what's going to come out is their claws, and that's all you're going to get from them. I'm going to fight you because that's what they hear. That's what they're perceiving, that they needed to defend themselves.
Right.
So, yeah. I'm sorry, Maxine, say that.
No, I was just wondering if when they go to talk to their psychiatrist or psychologist, if they're really, you know, of course they're going to tell them why they're acting the way they act. I wonder if that plays a part in it, too, with their perception of how they act, if they're really taking that in and really noticing that they need to change. You know, I wonder if the chemical imbalance, if that ever changes the way a person will think about themselves and accept
sorry, say that again.
And if they accept that information that the psychologist or the psychiatrist is giving to them so they can work on it.
Well, here's the thing. The relationship with the psychiatrist is different, right? And often, depending on the level of counseling that they're having, the first few times, a good psychiatrist is not even saying a word. It's just allowing them to process it themselves, because it's not about what you say to them. It's about allowing them to process it in their downtime, to process their behavior, and then come to the conclusion with the therapist or everybody else, like, oh, my goodness, I really messed up. So that is one of the things that the therapists do. They don't necessarily point out that, hey, this is a bad behavior, but they walk them through that decision and then allow them to process it, because I tell you what, it's what you process that will stay. If you tell me to go to China and I don't want to go to China, I'm not going to think about it. The minute you say it, I'll just say, I agree with you. The minute you turn your back, I'm gone. It's over. But if I process it myself and I say to myself, I have to go to China, then guess what? My brain, my faculties, everything about me will begin to work towards going to China. And so without you telling me, I will begin to try to figure out ways to go to China. This is the same way we're telling people about bad behavior. If you allow them to process it and their downtime when they're not drunk or when they're not out of it, and that's why you give them medication, you bring them down from whatever it is, and then let them process it. And when they process it, they will be ashamed. Now, that young lady that I talked about, if she had that opportunity and I process it, I bet the next time she saw you, she will feel guilty, she will feel ashamed. She will feel bad. But if she had processed it.
Right. And that's the thing of it. I think her family covered for her a lot, and maybe she was on medication, but I don't think she actually saw somebody because of the stigma of our community of going to see somebody.
Yeah.
So we don't even know if this person was on medication. Well, was being solved by a physician.
That's a shame. Now let's talk about social media, the impact of social media here. You know, Maxine, is social media giving people a personality disorder? What do you think about that? Is it giving people a personality disorder? Because there are some people on social media that you just wanna bang them down and tell them to hashtag sit themselves down. So is social media playing a big role in personality disorder?
You know, I think so. I think so because when I look at, if you think about it, because even if some of the celebrities aren't getting the attention they need, then they kind of put themselves out there like they've never been put out there before, or they do something that's shocking, or so they can stay relevant because they think that social media is everything. So, I mean, just think about if all the computers just went down, one day, all of them. Some people would not, they would probably have to go see someone for help, for mental health, mental behavior health, because they live their lives on social media. Now, I can see if you're doing it for a purpose, you know, you're doing it for a purpose, you know, that's your business, something like that. But every, you know, people who just post things every day to be, you know, I think that's causing a personality disorder because they think that the world revolves around them. And you see some people posting things, and I'm like, okay, why are you posting this? You know, it kind of, you know, I used to see someone, they would post every time they had a drink. Or it's something they have. Okay, I understand you're grown and you can drink, but do you have to post every drink online? My perception is you're going to have a bad liver in a couple of years. It's something with that. I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on. And then some people I do see people who, and this is another question we have further down, who actually feel like people are not supporting them because they're posting things on Facebook about them just going down the street or going out, and they think everybody's supposed to like it, and that shows them support or attention that, you know, they really have a warped sense of self-worth to me. So I think it does cause, social media can cause a personality disorder, you know, when it's dealing with people who don't do that as a job and they constantly post it. Sometimes they don't understand when it's celebrities or people doing it as a job, there's somebody in the background posting for them.
That's
so
right.
They kind of, they're on this hamster wheel trying to keep up with everybody else, but they don't understand it's somebody else doing that. So that can cause, and then that affects your home life too. So yeah, I think it does play a big part with personality disorders.
Absolutely, absolutely. When I look at Periscope and I look at Facebook and Twitter, well, particularly Periscope, because Periscope have allowed some people that would never have been found out, discovered, to be discovered. Either they're good, bad, or indifferent. People have been discovered. And so Periscope have given the platform, have kind of leveled the platform for everybody. And so, sadly, there are some that really do not know how to utilize Periscope. And all they see is the number of hearts, the number of people. And they keep going, 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 going without any direction in what they need to do with these people. And so you're right, absolutely right. Social media can add to personality disorders because the same people that you saw that was humble now, by the time they start having a lot of people, they start acting out, acting foolish and stupid, making decisions, irrational decisions that don't make sense. I mean, they just go off. And it's just like drinking. If you know that you have a problem with drinking, you don't live in a house that is full of liquor. If you know that you have an issue with drugs, then you don't put your best friend who is heavily into drugs in your home. And so likewise, social media. Once you start doing it and you know, okay, I can't do without this thing. You're waking up at 1 a.m. posting something. You're waking up at 2 a.m. you're posting something. And almost every hour you're posting something. Then you might need to pull back and assess quickly if this has become an addiction rather than something, a tool that you're supposed to use to take you to the next level. So, yeah, social media does play a part in it.
So I want everybody to join us on Facebook. Go to Southern Warrior Sister Tribe and like our Facebook page. And also visit us on our web, on our blog page, southernwarriorsistertribe.com, and visit us on our new website, warriorsistersworldchangers.com. So with us speaking about the perceptions, Princess, do you think it is important to forgive yourself in order to move on after you've accepted some of the true facts that, you know, people are saying or have opinions about your perception being accurate?
Oh, absolutely, yes. I think that's the healthy way to go about it. But the way you can go about it is not just accepting it, but actually taking action to make sure that you do the changes that are necessary. And I think as you begin to do the changes that are necessary, then you will be able to forgive yourself. But if you dwell in that particular situation and just say, I just need people to forgive me, and they say they're forgiving you, then your mind will play tricks on you and begin to just, you know, keep going back and back and back. But if you take action towards rectifying it, that is you truly knowing that you're forgiven and you truly being able to release that, whatever that thing is, in your heart. So the goal is to not only seek forgiveness, but to also implement some changes.
Right, right. And, you know, I like you said that, because taking action and making those changes, that will help you forgive yourself and, you know, accept the, you know, what people are saying about you. And once you look at yourself in the mirror to say, hey, this is true, or, you know, even thinking that this can be true, and to make those changes and take action. So that's almost like doing almost reevaluation of yourself and then doing a reset of what, you know, is accurate about you.
So, okay, I have a question for you, Maxine. Do you have any stories for us about how you perceive someone and it was correct or wrong? I have one, but I want you to tell one first.
Okay. You know, we have those all the time, because sometimes, and I don't want to say a bug or a bug in your ear, but that's how I usually say it. Sometimes somebody put a little bug in your ear on how someone is, and then you get to know them. You're like, hold on, this person didn't like this at all. I think they're just misunderstood, or somebody kept telling other people over and over again, this person is horrible, this person is mean. You know, and I can think back to a school teacher that I had, you know, the perception was that this teacher was so mean and he was horrible. And once I got in his class, I took time to understand him and the way he was. And I'm like, there's nothing bad about him. He's just teaching history. I don't understand why people think this way. You know, and I'm not sure how he broke the ice or broke that wall down with me, but I started to see, you know, some of my teachers differently and almost kind of being a defender of them when other classmates would say something. And that's usually, you know, what I tell people and to, you know, let down those perceptions and then you choose for yourself on how to, you know, how that person actually is for you. So, yeah, I've had some of those, and I've actually, you know, given some of those as well because one of the stories I wanted to tell, too, was my son starting high school. I actually, you know, a ninth grader, and he wants to wear his own stuff, and he should be able to wear his own stuff. But I'm like, no, son, you should wear this. You should wear this. You should wear this because I want the first day of school that people have perceptions. I don't want it to be the wrong perception. So I made him wear a certain shirt, you know, button-down shirt, you know, nice jeans, shoes, and all that stuff. And he was like, Mom, nobody cared about what I wore, and nobody really looked like me anyway. So I guess all the kids are wearing shorts. But I projected that onto him because, you know, I saw how kids could be very mean. So that was, you know, something wrong that I had to accept and, you know, apologize for to my son about that. But Princess, what is your story about?
That is good. Okay, now, so you know as parents anyway, we are always projecting. So I kind of relate to what you did with your son. And then with the teachers that you talked about, when I was in nursing school, I had two teachers that, I'm telling you, the whole compound, they just dreaded them. They hated them to the core. But guess what? They were my best friends. I don't know how it happened, but they were my best friends. If I needed something, they got up and gave it to me. If I needed extra tutoring, they did it. And what I understood about them was that they were strict and they wanted certain things done. And so when you start lacking behind, you know, you get it from them. You get it from them. But for some reason, they became my best friend. Now, the other one I wanted to talk about is about the Southern Warrior Sisters, right? Everybody knew that when we first started, it was like five or six of us. I can't even remember anymore. And when I started sensing in my spirit that somebody was going to leave, the first person I thought was, oh, my God, Maxine is leaving. Oh, my God, Maxine is leaving. Oh, God, Maxine is leaving. That was all I could say. I didn't even wait for God to tell me who it was. I was like, oh, my God, she's leaving. She is leaving. And so when you came and you were saying all this other stuff that was contrary to that, I was like, wait a minute now. She's not talking like she's going anywhere.
Right.
I was like, wait 1 minute here. Did I get this wrong? And the Holy Spirit said, you didn't get it wrong. You just didn't wait for the last part.
Oh, wow. That was good.
You just didn't wait. Yeah, and the person that actually left was the first one that was saying, oh, if everybody left, I would be the only one remaining. And you were the one that left. Oh, God. Mm. So the perception I had of her was completely different. I kind of put her way up there, right? Like, whatever, come moon, come shine, if she's going to be there, then I'll put you like, I don't even know where I put you, but I just knew that you were leaving. I just knew you were leaving. And then when you came, in fact, I had to go to my last. I said, wait a minute now. Something is off because what Maxine is saying is different from what I'm thinking. It doesn't look like Maxine is going anywhere.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Oh, my
and
God.
And how many more times?
Huh?
Right. How many more times did you have that perception?
Well, with you, I didn't even go there anymore. That was a hard lesson. With anybody, actually, because after the last person left, that was it. I didn't even. But now I've learned, because even as Christians, we have to learn to really settle ourselves down and let Holy Spirit tell us. If he's telling us and if he hasn't shown it, then wait. Don't be, you know, don't take the role of the Holy Spirit and, you know, take it on yourself to try and do kind of like an investigation. Or a detective work that he has not called you to do. And many of us do it,
right.
Not only in this. We do it in business. We do it at home. We do it in life, where God will tell us you're going to be a writer. And you don't wait to even figure out what kind of writing. You don't wait to even figure out, you know, how he's going to lead you and who he's going to bring in your way. You just run with that pen. You run, baby, with that pen. You know, so it's a big lesson. For you, I learned a great lesson in that. And I'm not ashamed to say it because somebody out there needs to learn that lesson too. That, you know what, yes, God will speak, but you also need to wait and let him finish speaking.
Right. Oh, wow. And I'm glad you let him finish speaking because I want everybody to join us. I want everybody to join us on Facebook, Southern Warrior Sister Tribe, and like our Facebook page. Sign up for our blog page, SouthernWarriorSisterTribe.com, and also visit us on our new website, WarriorSistersWorldChangers.com. But yeah, I'm glad you looked at that perception and you soon changed. But sometimes I think it may be something foreign to some people to actually sit and wait to hear, you know, the rest of the story, like you said. Because I think, you know, sometimes being in business or corporate America or other things like this, you take face value of what a situation is.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you don't wait because I was kind of the, you saw me, I like to sit back and listen to people and see what they're going to do and see what they're going to be about. So I let all the people talk and say all these good things, but I was sitting watching them like, something's wrong with you. So it was all the people who left that I was watching and I would sit back and observe. So that, you know, you can't really get a feel of somebody who's being quiet and reserved or
that's,
you know,
right.
You're doing observations on themselves to, like, okay, can I trust this person? I can't trust this person.
Right.
I'm not going to come out and talk and say things to this person because I can't trust this person yet. And it comes to be that I definitely couldn't trust this person. That's why some of the people that were in our initial group, I didn't tell certain things about my life and anything because I couldn't trust them. And those, you know, sometimes after observing, your perceptions can be true.
That's right.
It's just, you know, sometimes they don't want to accept those perceptions and those opinions about themselves. So one thing I wanted to ask you, too, is what about how you are being perceived now? And you gave a good example of how you just perceive what was it yesterday?
Oh,
yeah.
What yesterday?
Which one are you talking about now?
Oh,
the
no,
one where you posted.
That's been a while.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Being perceived, I'm not. To tell you the truth, I've learned to just focus on how God, my perception of God and His perception of me, my desire to see me, because you can't really rely on people's perception. You really can't. And so.
Right.
You rely on people's perception to move, to do what you need to do, you're going to be in a whole lot of problems. And so for me,
right.
I think what's more important for me right now is how I desire God to perceive me, how I desire him to perceive him. Am I doing what he's called me to do? Am I operating in all of my giftings? Am I helping other people to operate in their giftings? Am I moving where he's called me to move? Am I, you know, when he tells me to move, am I moving? When he speaks to me, am I speaking back? When he says write, am I writing? And I think that I value that more now. Of course, I also value the perception of my husband and my children, you know, and of course, close friends too, very close friends like you sisters now. I value your perception of me because if something is wrong, I definitely want you to tell me quick, because I don't want anything that's going to jeopardize the gifting, the radio show, and all these things, TV, and all the things that God is giving and even yet to give. And so it's very important that those who are in your close circle, you really understand that the two of you or three or four are perceiving each other the right way, because that can hinder progress. Because once one person, one of you have a different perception, is going to hinder that business, is going to hinder that project, it will hinder you all. So it's important that those who are close knit, you guys can always do like a check, a weekly check. Weekly check, by weekly check, monthly check, to make sure that you're all on point and still in the same direction.
Right, and I totally agree with that. I totally agree with that. And you said something that that was perfect about you care what your husband and your children think and those perceptions, and then how you perceive yourself. So when I asked the question about how you've been perceived, that's the thing I thought of is of when I was writing this question was my husband and my children. So with those perceptions, you know, I do have to sit back and look at myself because I'm thinking back when I was at, you know, in corporate America, I would not do certain things so I wasn't perceived a certain way. I would act very professional. I would, if you, everybody knows a certain thing, you know, certain saying, oh, you know, this person acts black, or, you know, just because I'm a black female, they expect me to, you know, go off or be a certain way. I was the total opposite because I didn't want to be perceived a certain way. I guess that's it. Or to me, it wasn't that important for me to go off. Maybe if, you know, it was a circumstance I did get into, or a situation I did get into, I wasn't the angry black woman they wanted me to be. I turned it around. My voice got lower. I got calmer, and I actually sat there and thought about what I was going to say before I opened my mouth. The way I'm probably perceived at home with my husband and my children, I, you know, kind of get back really quick and curt, and you know, I snap really easy when someone here pushes my button. So there, I think there's two different ways you can try and want to be perceived, you know, one way at work and maybe one way at home, because you want to be perceived at home as being the person who is caring, who is, someone who is telling your children the right thing to do. And you want to perceive, you know, be calm and everything. So I do see that there's two ways that it can be, I'm being perceived.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then again, you also realize that when you're home, you are home with your loved ones. And so there's no need for you to put up a guard or anything. So because of that, we're often impatient and we just, you know, we just go out. And just like you said, because we want to be perceived the right way, we lash out easily with our family members, more so than if we were at work. If we were at work, the first thing that comes to us is, okay, this is corporate now. You don't do that. You just keep your job. And so, but at home, you come back home now and you take all that energy and you are easily able to lay it on your family.
Right.
Now, so, okay, I'm listening.
No, I was going to say one other thing. You know, I used to work with my sister. So you can imagine how, you know, when we were younger, when we're here, when we're adults talking on the phone, getting together, it's a whole different, you know, type of environment. But once both of us got to work, we may have to go behind closed doors and start, you know, giving our opinions and about what's going on at work and other things like that. But other than that, it was hard. It was hard because, like I said, it was a family member that I worked with, and we worked in a corporate environment. So we had a lot of crazy days, and people saw us, you know, having our own conversations and how we reacted to each other about certain situations. But it was fun working with her, but I did have an issue with that because, like, I wanted to bring my home life into work to talk with her about it, and I was like, I can't do that because I would be seen a certain way. So, yeah, it was tricky. It was tricky doing that.
Wow, that's a good one. So why do perception of life, whether true or false, make you the person you believe you are? And I think here we also want to ask our listeners, do you know someone who has NPD? And NPD means narcissistic personality disorder. This is a long-term pattern of abnormal behavior characterized by exaggerated feelings of self-importance, an excessive need for admiration, and a lack of understanding of others' feelings. Oh, my. I almost feel like the whole world has that.
You know what? That's what I was thinking too. So the question is, why do perceptions of life? Because I can think of certain people who believe that they are a superstar or a celebrity, and you see this all day, and it makes somebody you know personally, you know, it's a family member or a friend, or you know, sometimes it's acquaintances that you don't really know. But I see a lot of people on here and on Facebook. I'm not on Instagram a whole lot. Oh my gosh, they post all the time, and they post,
you know,
every little thing. It's what I was talking about before. Somebody posting their drinks, but they really feel like they're a celebrity. And I've known people that their feelings have been hurt, and they've actually said, "You don't support me." And I was like, "Wow, what are you talking about?" So in my head, I'm like, okay, support your business? I don't understand. Support you how? And I think it's because of the admirations that they get likes on there or something like
that.
So you know what? I had to sit back to think, okay, this is some type of narcissistic behavior, a personal behavior disorder. It's some type of disorder. And, you know, narcissistic definitely disorder.
That's right.
I did apologize to them, and I did, you know, keep going to their page and liking them, and I gave them a little bit more attention because that's what they were asking for. But if it gets to be too, you know, bad, I may, you know, tell them you may want to get some help for that.
So I what's funny about it is there are some people on social media right now that they act the role of a celebrity, but you really don't know what they're doing, you know, right? If you say, what does she do? You really can say what she does. If you say, what does he do? You really can say, oh, he's a jewelry designer, is this. You just know that they're acting the role of a celebrity. And that's crazy because, you know, they could easily use all that, you know, fame, turn it around, and make a business out of it. But they would not necessarily make a business out of it. They just want to be famous. And so they are on Periscope. They are on other social media. And you really don't know what they're doing. They have a lot of followings now, but you do not know what they're doing. And that's crazy.
Right.
That's just absolutely absurd. That's crazy.
Right.
Well, we're kind of going way down now. We have, I think we have 6 more minutes to go. So, Maxine, I'm going to hand this over to you. If you have questions, if we have any announcement, let's do it now, and then you're going to close for us.
Okay. Well, go ahead and give your information on where everybody can join your event that's coming up. I wanted to give you one last time to present that.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So we have this workshop coming up called Quit Your Job in 90 Days. And, of course, you can join at bit.ly/quityourjobin90days. If you forget anything, just go to Facebook, look for Quit Your Job in 90 Days or the Storyteller Bistro, and the information is right there.
Thank you, thank you. And I have another quote that I wanted to read, just, you know, about life and everything. You are today where your thoughts have brought you. You will be tomorrow where your thoughts take you. This is a quote by James Allen. So I thought that was a great quote, you know, just to tell everybody, you know, a little wisdom nugget. But I wanted to also tell everybody, thank you for joining the show today, and thank you for listening to the show, and go ahead and go to our Facebook page, SouthernWarriorSisterTribe.com, and join our blog page. And go to our new website, Southern Warrior Sisters, WarriorSistersWorldChangers.com.
Look at you. See, you know what? You goofed up today. And you're always the ones telling us to correct. You're always the one correcting us. And today, yay, we got one on you.
I know. I didn't follow my script, so... I wanted to leave everybody with these thoughts today. Be inspired, be motivated, be authentic, and most of all, be of sentimental value. So thank you for joining our show today, and join us next week when we bring you another great topic.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you for being a part of the Princess Fomi and her Southern Warrior Sister Talk Radio. We hope that you have gained valuable insight and garnered some life tools to help you maneuver your life path. Please join us next time when we will bring you another exciting episode of Princess Fomi and her Southern Warrior Sisters Talk Radio. If you want to find a tribe of women who are ready to mentor others by sharing their own success stories, get on board with this women-centric radio show from the Southern Warrior Sisters now. And please, don't forget to join the tribe at WarriorSistersWorldChangers.com. Again, it is WarriorSistersWorldChangers.com. Until next time.